8. On a 730K pool image. Earlier this month, my public Docker image, Hey Valdemar, AWS Kubectl, held a Docker Scout grade of D. It had crossed 730,000 pools on Docker Hub, 8 out of 10, well above the typical score for public utility images. I read the configuration line by line. I shipped 3 major phases, and I hit one production incident that cost me a full afternoon. You see the same pattern everywhere: banking, telecom, cloud native. A utility image gets adopted because it works, pools climb into 6 figures, and nobody touches the Docker file for years. Defaults that shipped in 2023 are still the defaults in production in 2026. So if you maintain a public image with real adoption and you have never audited it against current supply chain expectations, what follows is the checklist I wish I had kept from day one. For the performance side of the same site rebuilt that preceded this work, see the Cloudflare Web Analytics migration that unlocked Lighthouse 100, what grade D actually looked like. The starting Docker file was the version most maintainers will recognize on site. One stage, 0.4 with no digest, apt-get install for curl, and unzip. A bash loop to pull the AWS CLI zip and the Kubectl binary. No user directive, so the container runs as root by default, no OCI labels, no Hadalint, no log file for the base image. The secure version after phase 3 is a different image entirely. Multistage, so the build tools never ship in the runtime. Base digest pinned. An explicit user 1001 pinned, so the container runs as a non-root account with root group, GID 0, for OpenShift SCC compatibility. A full set of OCI labels, so Scout and GitHub actually know what they are scanning. The example below shows the structural changes only. The production Dockerfile in the repo additionally ships jq, invisubst, curl, and unzip in the runtime, writes the resolved kubectl version to etc/kub version as a drift detection marker, and uses osar local oscli as the AWS CLI install path. Text channel. The example above keeps the same default, with the resolution logic elided for readability. That missing user directive is one of the most common findings in container security audits. In regulated industries, it shows up as a late-stage compliance blocker. In security postmortems, it maps to privilege escalation and lateral movement patterns documented across years of incident reporting. In cloud-native environments, it is the reason OpenShift restricted V2 SCC refuses your pod. One line, skip it, and the cost compounds every year. The image gets pulled. Com, Hey Valdemar, Abuetsuo Kubectl Docker. Why this keeps happening? Sonatype's 2024 State of the Software Supply Chain report logged 512,847 malicious open source packages over the preceding year, a 156% rise year over year. Containers are a smaller slice of that total than NPM or PyPI. The propagation model is the same. A base image ships, downstream teams pull it, and the maintainer's attack surface becomes the attack surface of every production cluster that pulled it. One compromised personal access token reaches a cluster in Frankfurt and a cluster in Singapore by the next morning because the image digest has already rolled out through the nightly base rebuilds in both places. Then there is the silence between the build and the consumer. Most public images carry no signature, no SBOM, no build provenance. A pull resolves a tag to a digest. That is the entire audit trail. Sigstore fixed the signing cost by making keyless cosign verification free through GitHub OIDC. BuildKit fixed the SBOM and provenance cost by making both a single build flag. The reason most images still ship without them is not that the tooling is hard. It is that nobody ran the migration. And there is recency. OpenSSF scorecard is new enough that most maintainers have never seen their own score. Running it once is a 10-minute workflow. Run it today, and most public images would come back somewhere between 3 and 5. Risk and blast radius. Direct exposure scales with pools. Past 730,000, the image is well beyond the threshold where a single supply chain compromise reaches hundreds of downstream CI pipelines inside days. The pools counter is an adoption metric. it is also a blast radius metric. Systemic exposure is the harder calculation. A single maintainer account, a single personal access token with write.packages, a single compromised laptop. The OWASP top 10 for CI/CD security captures these as CI/CD Sec 2, inadequate identity and access management, and CI/CD Sec 6, insufficient credential hygiene. And the attack pattern that dominated 2024 was exactly this chain. Hardening the build pipeline matters more than hardening the runtime of the image itself, because the runtime is downstream of whoever signed the image. Regulatory exposure depends on who pulled the image. If any consumer runs it in a workload subject to EU NIS2, US Executive Order 1.028, or financial regulatory frameworks that require SBOM attestations, the maintainer is inside the trust chain, whether the maintainer asked to be there or not. Options compared. For a solo maintainer, the trade-off space is narrower than it is for a funded team. The table below is the honest comparison for public utility images under 1 GB. The jump from 5 to 7 costs 4 hours once. 8 costs another 8 hours plus a breaking release. 5 costs 40 hours of process overhead and tops out at a ceiling you do not control. 8. For a solo maintainer, the marginal return on the next tier goes negative. Framework. Supply chain hardening for solo maintainers. 3 layers. Each one is a deploy cycle. The names track the migration topic family on purpose, because this is a migration from insecure defaults to attested defaults, not a fresh build from scratch. Layer 1. Inventory. The first goal is the audit, not the fix. You cannot harden what you have not measured. Run all 4. Save the output. That scorecard baseline is what you compare against once the hardening lands. On my run, the starting numbers were Scout Grade D, an OpenSSF score in the low single digits, and several high CVEs from apt package lag. Owner, the single maintainer. Layer 2, parallel run. Phase 1, multi-stage build. OCI labels, Hedolent in CI. Phase 2, cosine keyless signing. SBOM generation, SLSA build provenance. Trivi-Serif upload. Phase 3. Non-root user 1001 breaking release plus a V1 maintenance floating tag for users who cannot migrate inside the window. Semver tags are kept forever by the tag cleanup policy and are the recommended target for production pins. The signing job is the piece that earns the cosine verified badge and the SLSA provenance, incident, post-mortem. During phase 2, I first shipped the workflow above with push to registry. True. The signing step succeeded. The attestation push failed. Docker Hub's OCI referrers API silently rejected the credential handoff from the workflow. I reran the publish job with push to registry, false, and shipped the fix as a hotfix. The fix is to keep attestations in GitHub attestations, where they are retrievable by anyone with the digest, and skip the registry push until Docker Hub stabilizes its referrers' behavior. One header format that the actions attest build provenance V3 action does not negotiate cleanly against Docker Hub's current implementation. GHCR works. Docker Hub does not. A second regression surfaced 5 days later when I turned on Docker Hub tag immutability. The publish workflow had been generating a kubefi tag on every push event, and that collided with the immutability policy and aborted the build before the cosign step could run. So main pushes shipped a new latest digest each time without ever signing it. The fix scoped the kubefi tag to Semver release events only and added set your pipe fail plus per tag error handling to the signing step shown above, so future failures fail loud rather than silent. Floating tags are signing reliably again as of late April. After phase 2, the image carries keyless cosine signatures, an SPDX as BOM, and SLSA build provenance at mode at a max, all traceable to the exact GitHub actions run that produced them. After phase 3, the default user is UID 1001 with GD0, so the image drops straight into OpenShift, restricted V2, with no security context override. Owner, the single maintainer. layer 3, cut over and continuous verification, 8 instead of letting it drift back to 5 over time. The comment on that scorecard action pin is not paranoia. I hit an imposter commit error on the first publication attempt. Git has had two tag types since 2005. Lightweight tags point directly at a commit Azure, and annotated tags point at a tag object that wraps the commit Azure. GitHub's git refs tags tag API returns whichever array the tag ref resolves to. Annotated tag in, annotated tag object Azure out. Scorecard rejects annotated tag object Azures during its own verification step because they are not commit Azures. The fix is a second API call, a 20-year-old distinction in Git, the kind that only breaks your publication on the day you need it to work. Weekly base rebuild, weekly scorecard rerun, weekly Docker Hub tag cleanup. Together, they keep the maintenance budget under 2 hours a month. A tag retention policy that deletes SHA tags older than 90 days keeps the tag list readable by humans and scanners alike. One caveat, users pinning by digest should pin to digests that are also referenced by a semver tag, so that purged SHA tags do not orphan the digest. Owner, the single maintainer, with Dependabot as the junior engineer that ships 80% of the ongoing patches. Trade-offs. The full program costs 16 hours of initial work and roughly 1 hour a month of ongoing review. At typical senior DevOps contractor rates, that is a single billable sprint upfront and a fraction of a day per month after. Now price the alternative. A supply chain incident, response engagement, forensics and containment, and downstream notification costs multiples more than a preventive hardening program's entire first-year budget. An SBOM attestation audit finding inside an enterprise procurement cycle can delay or kill multi-year contracts. The asymmetry is the whole argument. Look at the Kotakov Bash uploader compromise in 2021. It exposed credentials from customer CI environments across a two-month window before anyone detected it through a single injected line of shell. Shell script, not container. Same propagation graph as a signed nothing Docker image today. The breaking release in phase 3 costs a migration window, a V1 maintenance floating tag, and a migration guide in the README. Downstream teams can pin to V1 maintenance while they budget for a container-based image bump. 8 are mostly honest. Code review scores 0-20 because I am the only reviewer. Branch protection scores 4-10 because I kept the admin bypass for emergency fixes. Fuzzing scores 0-10 because the image is a utility, not an application. These are trade-offs, not oversights. The score reflects them accurately, and that is the point of the program. The closing argument. Public Docker images inherit the supply chain obligations of the projects that pull them, whether the maintainer accepts the responsibility or not. The tooling to sign, attest, and score an image is free, and the workflows run under 300 lines of YAML. Skip the migration and the cost compounds every month, the image stays insecure by default. Run it and the cost is one sustained weekend of work, plus about an hour a month afterward, 16 hours once, 1 hour a month after, 730,000 pools protected from whatever compromise ships against the maintainer next. Pull the image and verify it yourself. Every signature, SBOM, and build provenance record is public in GitHub attestations. Discussion. 0 on scorecard, hit a Docker Hub referrers issue in production, or stuck with the do-nothing path and want to argue the cost-benefit, drop a comment below. Counter-arguments welcome, and the comment thread is where I respond first. For longer back and forth with senior practitioners, join the discussion on Discord.